And we could say it'd been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to see you tonight. How many would rather be here tonight and then in the chain gang? Let me see your hand. I am so glad that you're here. And I appreciate a church that has an emphasis on missions and has a missions conference. And tonight I want you to take your Bible and be finding with me 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I was on the way over this week on the airplane, and I had just boarded in Atlanta, and I'd pulled my Bible out and I was reading. And have you ever just had the Lord begin to take the windows of heaven and open them up and just pour it out on you? And sometimes you just think, Lord, I just don't know if I can take it anymore. It's so good. And I found the back of an old ticket that I just used, and I started scribbling down the notes as the Lord was beginning to give them to me. And I put a few thoughts together tonight that the Lord has spoken to my heart about, and I hope that He will certainly speak to your heart tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to preach a little while this evening on this topic, according to my word. Would you look at the first six verses with me, and I'm going to read, and you follow along with me tonight. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the book. Elijah appears on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17 during one of the darkest hours in Israel's history. Elijah is introduced to us in chapter 17, but you really have to read the previous chapters to understand the deplorable state that Israel finds themselves in. Israel had departed from God. They had defied the holiness of God. They had pursued a relationship with the pagan god of Baal. And Israel went on in the depravity and acted as if God didn't even exist. And it's interesting to note that Israel didn't start that way. They started out simply tolerating the heathen that were there. And then their toleration ultimately led to accepting the practices there of the heathen. And then finally the acceptance led to the practice of pagan worship. And for a while in Israel's history, it seemed as if they were going to get by with their idolatry and with their infidelity. And it appeared that Israel had somehow interpreted the Lord's long suffering to mean that He was either unaware of what they were doing or He was unconcerned with their behavior. But never, ever, ladies and gentlemen, mistake God's inactivity for unconcern. Because when God delays His judgment, He does that for one reason, and that's so that men can come and turn from their wicked ways and come back to Him. Did you know that man's ways are never hidden from God? Did you know the iniquity of a man is never hidden from the eyes of the Lord? God's eyes, the scriptures say, run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. And so in chapter 17, we meet Elijah. Elijah's name simply means this. It means, my God is Jehovah. Do you know, in the middle of all of that paganism, it's interesting to note that God had His man. And can I tell you that God has always had His people? God has always had His remnant. And God has always had a prophet to speak truth to power. And God's prophet here is Elijah. And God's going to use Elijah here to point the nation back to Him. And in the process of pointing that nation back to Him, God is going to use this story to show you and me tonight how it is that God leads and how God works in our lives. Did you know that when God gives direction to our life, God always does it according to His Word? Elijah shows up, and he shows up at Ahab's door in verse number 1. And God had a message to deliver to the king, and it was through the prophet. And in verse number 1, he said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, Elijah is simply saying this to the king here. He's saying, now, you've been living in your idolatry. You have been living as if Jehovah is not even alive. But he said, "I'm here to declare to you, Ahab, that the Lord God of Israel liveth." Did you know that God placed a special emphasis on his relationship with Israel? Jehovah was their king. He was their ruler. He was the one they had entered into a covenant with. And Elijah comes and delivers this message to Ahab, and he makes this clear and under no uncertain terms. He tells Ahab, he said, "Understand this, that the Lord God Almighty liveth." During the reign of the previous six kings prior to Ahab, understand, they had openly mocked and defied Jehovah. They had dared Jehovah. And I believe the false idea had crept into their minds that really the Lord had no real existence. And here Elijah shows up to the king's palace, and he begins to proclaim this message, "The Lord God of Israel liveth." Can I just simply tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that is our missionary message tonight. That the Lord God Almighty lives. That is our message, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who went down into that tomb 3 days later, came up by the power of His own omnipotence, and He has the keys tonight of death, of hell, and the grave. And I'm telling you tonight, I have been to that tomb, Brother Reynolds, and He is not there. Our Savior lives. And because He lives tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason you and I have hope. And if Christ had not risen from the dead, I want you to know we are of all men most miserable. But because He lives tonight, that is our message. That is the ultimate message of our theology, is that our King lives. And I want you to understand tonight that our message tonight is unlike any other message. Our message is a word-based message. And apart from this book, we have no message. But listen, our response to His Word is going to determine the way, how effective we can be used to carry out this cause of Christ. And tonight, I want you to just follow along with me for just a few moments as we look at how Elijah was led in his life and how he responded to the Word of God that came to him. Notice, if you would, three things with me. Number one, first of all, notice the direction that came to Elijah. The direction came to him, the Bible said, according to thy Word. Do you know what God told him there with the Word there? With the Word, He told him exactly where He wanted him to go. He said, "I want you to go to Ahab and to declare to him that the Lord God of Israel liveth." The Word of God is what gave him direction in his life. And then when he finished that assignment, God had another assignment for him. And you know how the word, or how the message came to him then? According to thy Word. He says, second of all, I want you not only to go to Ahab, I want you to go to Cherith. Now, the word Cherith and the place Cherith is only mentioned twice in the Bible. It's mentioned in 1 Kings 17 in verse 3. It's mentioned again in verse number 5. And the word Cherith means something very special. It means a cutting or a separation. And you see, it was here at this place that God began to take His his servant. And he began to separate him and began to teach him some things in this place of isolation where he could use him and make him effective for his purposes and for his causes. And it was here to this area, to the brook Cherith, that God sent the prophet Elijah. And God's word came to Elijah with this command. He says, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." In verse 5, the Bible said this. Now, when Elijah heard what God wanted from him, he heard it from the word of God. Now, Elijah has to make a decision with what he has heard. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I hear from God and we hear truth, we have to make a decision as how we're going to respond to truth. And so Elijah hears the truth. He hears the word of God, and the Bible said, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, you say, that sounds so simple, Pastor. It does sound simple. But you know, the truth of the matter is, that's the biggest place that you and I struggle with in our life on a regular basis. How are we going to respond to the word that God has given to us? And so Elijah comes and he responds with obedience, and just like God commanded him to do. And Elijah, God told him, he said, "Go to Cherith, and I have commanded some ravens to feed thee there." And the Bible said that Elijah went and did according to what God told him to do. I read the story one time about Christian Herter. You may not know that name, but he served as a congressman to Massachusetts from 1942 to 1953. And during one of his reelection campaigns, he had been busily out soliciting votes, and he was really tired. And he came to that evening to a church barbecue, and he hadn't eaten all day, and he was really hungry. And so he got there in the serving line, and as he was going through the serving line, he held his plate out. There was a woman there, and she was serving chicken. And she put a piece on his plate, and then she turned to the next person that was in that line. And the congressman said to her, he said, "Ma'am, excuse me," he said, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" The lady said, "I'm sorry." She said, "I was told only give one piece of chicken to each person that's here tonight." And he said, "Well, I'm really hungry," the congressman said. And he said, "I've been out working all day." She said, "Sorry." She said, "One piece of chicken to each customer." Well, what she didn't know is Congressman Herter had actually paid for that whole event. And he was starving to death, and he just wanted a second piece of chicken. And he was a rather modest man and rather unassuming, but he decided this time he was going to push the envelope just a little bit. And he thought he might throw his weight around. And he said, "Do you know who I am? I am a congressman of the United States." And that woman looked at him and said, "Do you know who I am? I am the lady in charge of the chicken." "Move along, mister, move along." You know what I learned from that dear lady? That lady was obedient to the job that she had been given. Amen. Somebody gave her something to do. They told her what to do, and she did exactly what she was supposed to do. And can I tell you, the lesson that we learned tonight, folks, from Elijah's life is very, very simple, and it's simply this. We ought to be obedient to everything God tells us to do. And I don't want you to think about this matter of obedience for just a moment. So here God is. He's gotten his instructions from God. He's gotten direction. God told him where to go. Notice the second thing God told him, and that was all according to his word. He told him where to go. Then he told him what to do. He said, now here's what I want you to do. He said, "I want you to go over there to the brook Cherith." Now, you know, I believe that our struggle oftentimes is not understanding what God wants us to do. It's not even understanding where God wants us to do it at. But I believe the greatest struggle in the majority of our lives, folks, is simply this, is we try to negotiate our obedience with God. But that's not the case with Elijah. Many Christians kind of like the man. He was telling his neighbor about a new purchase he had made. And he came to his neighbor one day and was all excited. He said, "Hey, I want to tell you, I've got a brand new hearing aid." He said, "It's just wonderful." He said, "It cost me $4,000 and it's state of the art, but all of my hearing problems are over. And his neighbor said, "Man, that's great." He said, "What kind is it?" And he looked and he said, 1230. Do you know that our problem, ladies and gentlemen, is not that God is not speaking. Yes. Our problem oftentimes is we're not listening to what God is trying to say. So notice that everything that has happened up to this point in Elijah's life has all happened according to his word. So the direction has come to him. Notice, second of all, now the direction has come. Now notice the second thing, the obedience that began to follow there. Now Elijah has heard from the Lord. He's got to make a decision now that he has heard from the Lord. Now what am I going to do with what God has said to me? You know, every Christian has to make that decision. The first time you had that opportunity is when you understood who Christ was. When you heard the gospel story. You heard the message of Christ's death and His burial and His resurrection. Every one of us that are here heard that story, and we had to make a decision at some point in time. How are we going to respond to the message of the gospel? I would say that the majority that are here tonight, by being here on a Thursday night, most of you probably have received Christ as your Savior. But did you know that decision right there is not the final decision in our life? Because we have to continue to make that decision on a regular basis. How will we continue to respond to what God is saying in our life? And so the direction has come to Elijah. But notice, second of all now, the word is beginning to move in his life. And by the way, the word of God will begin to move in your life. It'll start to change your life when you begin to follow it and you begin to respond to it. Notice the obedience that followed in his life. He began to respond in his life. And here's the key. By great faith in his life. You know, Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And did you know that obedience in my and your life tonight, ladies and gentlemen, involves hearing the word of God, but it also involves submitting ourselves to follow the will of God in our life. So here is Elijah, and here's a man that heard God's voice. But here's a man also that heeded God's voice. And he's obedient to what it is that God has asked him to do. And so now the word of God begins once again to reveal the will of God to Elijah. And now Elijah has to make a choice in his life. How will I respond to the word of God? God said, "I want to send you up to Cherith." And he said, "I have got a raven, and he is going to feed thee there." Do you know where the provision of God comes? The provision of God for my and your life comes when we get there. Did you know that if Elijah had never gotten there, the provision would have never come to him? The provision was not going to be in any other place other than the place that God told him to go. And when he responded to the word of God, and he was in that place that God told him to be, and he went to the place God told him to go, I want you to know the provision of God accompanies the direction of God, because God's provision comes when you and I are obedient to him. And so here's Elijah. And he responds in great obedience to the Lord. And notice his obedience was very prompt in verse number 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. You don't find Elijah arguing with God. You don't find him questioning God. You find no discussion here with God. There's no debating with God. He was very clearly told what God wanted him to do. And now he responds with a prompt obedience. Did you know there's a pattern of the people that God has used in Scripture that did the same thing with their life? There was a man named Abraham, And God spoke to him, and God asked of Abraham something unprecedented. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to offer him on Mount Moriah. There is a burnt offering to me. And hey, how many of you would say that that was a pretty big request? I think that was pretty big. And how did Abraham respond to what it was that God clearly told him to do? I'll tell you how he responded in Genesis 22 and verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and went unto the place of which God had told him. He went there. He got the, and by the way, when he got there to that place, do you know what God provided? God provided a lamb caught in a thicket. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get there in your life, when you get the direction from God, and then there's swift obedience in mind your life, you get in on what it is that God starts to do in our life. And we like to sound so spiritual sometimes, and we say, well, you know, God, let me take and pray about that. Do you know there's some things you just simply don't have to pray about? You don't have to pray about what it is that God has very clearly said in His Word that He wants from our life. When He speaks, friend, I'll tell you, we just need to start walking. We just need to start moving in that direction that He speaks. So he responds in faith. Now notice that when he responded in faith, he was rewarded with provision. God's provision always follows our obedience. And the Bible said that there was bread that was provided for him. Now I want you to stay with me for just a second. Now what was it that God said would happen in verse number 1? The Bible said there was a famine in that land, right? There's a famine that is getting ready to come. Now I want to tell you, there wasn't any bread in the land, because there's a famine in the land. Now, I don't know, and I can't prove this, and Pastor and I were discussing this today. I said, where do you think that bread came from? I mean, they can't grow anything. There's a famine in the land. You can't get any wheat to grow. You can't get any rye to grow. You can't get anything to grow. If there is going to be any food, any bread in the land, more than likely the only place that is going to have the bread is going to be in the king's house. You know what I believe happened? And I can't prove this, so put your pen down. But you know what I believe happened? I believe that raven flew over there to that palace that Elijah had delivered the message to. And I believe there was a little bread that they were able to conjure up throughout the kingdom. And I believe it had been fresh baked. And I believe it was put on the windowsill. And I believe every day that old raven would sweep down through there and just grab it right out of Ahab's house and take it over there to that obedient servant that was doing the will of God. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God knows where you're at when you're in obedience to Him. When you get there, you just start expecting the blessing of God to come in your life when you get there. Listen, God can use the pagans if He needs to feed you. When you're there, I remember years ago down in Charleston, we were our church was growing some, and we were trying to think about building a new facility. And I remember one day the air conditioner went out in the main auditorium, and I had a repairman come in, and he looked at it. He said, Pastor, I want to just tell you, he said, this thing is beyond repair. It has been on life support for a while. You're just going to have to get a brand new unit. I said, by how much is that going to cost? He said, for that unit, about $10,000. I just went, ooh, ooh. I'm thinking, you know, we're trying to get into this new building, get this thing going. I thought, Lord. And I went down, I prayed a while. I said, Lord, I don't feel good about this. And I said, Lord, would you help us? And I looked at my assistant. I said, call somebody else. Get them to come out here. And about this time, the guy shows up, and this is the guy that my assistant called, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and I could tell he just wasn't having a good day. And it looked like I was the reason for it. And I went over, and I tried to be nice to him, and I started trying to be kind to the guy, and then he tells me, he said, well, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe what y'all are doing around here. And I said, well, God doesn't believe in you. And I tried to share the gospel with him. He didn't want anything to do with it. And he was over there, and he takes that air conditioning part apart, and he begins to look at it. And I'm talking to him, and he's most of the time was just smarting off, to be quite honest with you. And he got done, and he said, "Well, here's your problem." He says, "That little part right there." He said, "I can fix it." I said, "How much is it going to cost?" He said, $75. I said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." And he looked at me and he said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "Man, you are an answer to my prayer." I said, "God sent me an atheist, an unbeliever, and he used you today to answer my prayer." I tell you, I couldn't write that check fast enough, man. $75. And to my knowledge, that air conditioning unit is still running today. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that God can use an atheist if he wants to fix an air conditioning unit. And if God wants to, he can use a pagan king to feed the prophet of God. Because when you get there, you get the provision of Almighty God. You see the direction that came. You see the obedience that followed. Notice last of all with me tonight, the influence that began to grow. Now notice here, there's a progression, and we're going to move through this quickly. But I want you to stay with me here. Because you see, God is at work in Elijah's life here. And it all started when he began to listen to the Word of God. The direction was given to him. And as he began to respond to the Word of God, that God began to get active in his life. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, God hasn't changed. I heard somebody say that he still is. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to get God active in your life, just start responding according to his Word. Now, the first place that God told him to go was to Cherith. Now notice that it was at Cherith that God began to minister to Elijah on an individual basis. I believe that at Cherith, Elijah's faith began to grow. I believe he's beginning to take baby steps in his life. He's beginning to learn how to respond to just simply stepping out onto what God asked for him according to his Word. I remember so vividly, Dr. Reynolds, that it was in a missions conference as a teenager that God began to help my faith start to grow. I had a Cherith moment. I had a pastor that, thank God, believed in missions, and we had a missions conference the first time as a teenager I'd ever been to a missions conference. And I heard something presented that week that I'd never heard presented, and it was called grace giving. It was called faith promise giving. And I listened that week with great intrigue, and I heard him talk about how that the Macedonians gave out of their poverty. And I thought, how do you give out of your poverty? And he said, you can't give out of your poverty. God has to do it in and through you. And I got all excited about that. And he said, now tonight in this service, in the evening service on Sunday night, he said, we're going to pass out a card, and it's called a faith promise card. And he said, I want you to write down on that, no place for your name, but that amount that you are willing to trust God to provide for you so that you can give over and above your tithes and offerings to missions. And I remember I took that card home just like the pastor asked. That Sunday afternoon, I laid across my bed. I opened up the Bible and I began to read it. And I took that card and I said, now, Lord, I really believe you're asking for me to do something this week, but I don't know what you want me to do. And I don't have a job. At that time, I was just a kid. And I had an allowance that week. Or every week, and parents gave it. I had to wash the car, I had to cut the grass. And, you know, nowadays, kids get paid for just being a kid. My daddy didn't believe in that. He had a list of things. They're called chores. And I didn't get paid if I didn't fulfill the obligation. It's a novel concept. It really is. And I believe that it is really a good concept. Say amen right there. Amen. But I remember what I got paid for all those things there, and I got paid $5 a week. And I remember laying across my bed, and I didn't hear an audible voice, preacher, and I didn't see a 900-foot, well, I didn't see anything like that, that I just, in my heart, heard the still small voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, would you trust me for $5 a week? And I remember, I said, now wait a minute, Lord. If I tithe on that $5, that's 50 cents. And then I got $4.50 left. I can't even give that because I don't even. And the Lord said, well, you asked me and I told you. And now, do you want to do it or do you want to negotiate with me? Have you ever negotiated with the Lord? I started that as a kid, and finally, after a while, I realized, you know, I believe the Lord's asking. I believe this is what the preacher's been talking about all week. My faith is trying to expand. And so I remember on that card that afternoon, I just went ahead and wrote $5 a week. And I want to tell you, when I wrote that down, I tell you, my burden lifted. And I didn't know how in the world God was going to do this, but I was excited. I couldn't wait to get to church. And man, we had that little offering, and we were in a little country church, and we weren't in a one-room schoolhouse. We were in a three-room schoolhouse. That's where we went to church. We knocked the other two walls down and just had, now it was a one-room church. That's what it was. Way out in the country, and I remember I put that offering, that little envelope, or that little card in that offering plate that night, and I was the happiest kid you've ever seen. And now, I left there, and I went, whew, this is good. And I got home, and the old devil was waiting for me. He said, now, honey, where do you think you're going to do that? And, you know, I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that unless the Lord does it. But I said, I'm stepping out by faith. Monday, I got a phone call. It was from my granddaddy. He was an electrician. And he said, Tim, he said, I really could use your help this week. He said, I've got to wire this house. And he said, I'm getting too old to crawl up under those houses. And he said, would you just crawl up under these houses for me and pull the wire back and forth? And he said, I'll just drill a hole and rattle a screwdriver right there, and you can pull the wire from one room to the other. And I said, Papa, I'll help you. And I helped him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We had church Thursday, Friday. Went to help him all day on Saturday. And at the end of the week, Papa paid. And I want to tell you, for a kid, I had a pocket full of money. And I thought, whoo, hallelujah, I give that faith promise. And I remember that God started this preacher on a journey as a kid then. And that was simply this, that when you get there, now I'm talking about the place of obedience in your life. I'm talking about the place where you quit negotiating with the Lord. I'm talking about the place when He speaks to your heart according to His Word, and you step out and say, Lord, I don't even know if I see a way to do this, but I'm going to do it because You've asked me to do it. I started on a journey with the Lord. And can I just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I have been doing this for years. We've taught this to our kids. And can I tell you now, our kids, it's amazing to me what college students can give to the Lord that have little part-time jobs, but they trust the Lord for great and mighty things. It blows our mind to think of what God has done in our life when we simply stepped out to give according to His Word. Listen, when you get there, ladies and gentlemen, the provision of God comes. Cherith was a place where Elijah started with God. It was baby steps in his life. And then the Bible said the brook dried up. And the Bible said that instruction came to him. He said, now I want you to go to a different place. The Word came to him again. By the way, you always get your direction in life from the Word of the living God. He said, now I want you to go to Zarephath. And you know, I believe that what began to happen now is the influence of faith began to grow in Elijah's life. And so now his faith is not just affecting Elijah, but notice that his faith begins to grow and it begins to have an influence. And now his faith is going to affect someone else. It's going to affect a little widow and her son. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and I have commanded a widow to feed thee, and there's that word again, there. Now, if that had been the average Baptist, do you know what we'd have said? What's her name? What's she going to look like? Now, what's her address? Now, how am I going to know her? You know, he didn't have any of that information. He simply had this from God. I want you to go to Zarephath. because I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. His faith had grown at Cherith, and he was now ready for the second component of that. He gets to Zarephath, and that faith begins to grow, and now his faith is in taking intermediate steps. Have you ever been there? And your faith now begins to affect others around you. I remember I'd struggle, Dr. Reynolds, for the longest about whether God wanted me to be a pastor or not. And I wrestled with that for two and a half years in my life. And I finally submitted to that call, and a little church in Charleston, South Carolina called and asked if we would come. And I remember we had prayed about that. We had complete assurance in our heart. We left a thriving ministry in Georgia and went to this little church. It was running about 50, 55 people when we got there. And yet I knew in my heart God wanted us to go. You know, when you tell somebody you're going to come, that's an easy thing to do. But then there's some hard things that follow after that. Because we had a house to sell. There were 18 houses for sale in our neighborhood within a 2-mile radius, and the market was awful. Anybody relate to that? But how many know when God has spoken to you that you can listen? Provision always accompanies obedience, right? And I remember we had announced that we were going to be moving to Charleston. That Sunday night that I gave my resignation, I went home. I took a for sale by owner sign that was in my garage. I pulled my car up into that garage, took that sign out that night, kicked it into the ground, told my wife, I said, call the local paper. And for $25, we ran an ad. I had three calls. And the first person came to look at the house, and they looked at it and liked it, but said, I don't think this is the one. Second person never came to see it. Third person never came to see it. I called back that second person one night and I said, you are still interested in that house? Yeah, I've been trying to get over there to see it. And he said, we just can't get it. I said, well, is Monday night or Tuesday night better for you? I need to sell a house. And he came over there, and it was an old boy from Alabama. And he looked at that house. And he said, yeah, he said, I expect this is what we want right here. He said, it's got everything we want. And he goes, he reminded me of Barney Fife. He said, would you take any less for it? I said, no. I said, we've got to have that amount. He goes, we'll take it. I went to Office Depot that afternoon. I got a contract, Brother Reynolds. I've never done this before in my life. I'm trying to save money. And I sat there and I wrote that contract out like I knew what I was doing. I said, here, just turn around and sign that. He said, okay. So he signed that thing and I took it to a lawyer. And 30 days later, ladies and gentlemen, in a market that was depressed and with no houses in the area that were selling and with a for sale by owner sign and a $25 ad, I want to tell you, I loaded up my family and we went to Charleston, South Carolina and had 10 fruitful years of ministry there. I'm simply telling you this, that you know when we begin to take baby steps in our faith and it's just affecting us, it's preparing us for that next phase of life where God can then begin to expand that faith and begin to grow it. And that's exactly what God did at Zarephath. And hastily, and I close with this, he had an influence that grew. He started at Cherith, then he went to Zarephath. And then can I tell you, God was getting him ready for the final frontier, and that was there at Carmel. Because there at Carmel, the nation's faith was getting ready to grow. The nation was getting ready to be affected by one man's faith. Because in chapter number 18, Elijah is facing 450 prophets of Baal. And those 450 prophets of Baal are gathered there, and there Elijah calls down fire from heaven with a 63-word prayer. And when it was over, this is what the people said in chapter 18 and verse number 39. Those that had denied him for 7 kings prior, they began to stand up and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. All because one man's faith had grown from just affecting him to now affecting someone else to a place where the entire nation was affected by his faith. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, when you and I begin to respond in our life according to his word, I'll promise you that that influence is going to be broadened. God led, but here's where I wanted to get at, and we're done. It's so simple. God led by His word. Elijah responded in faith, and God supplied the need. And did you know that's a routine for the Christian life that ought to become customary in our life? And maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, you know, it seems that God speaks to so many of those around me, but God just never seems to speak to me. Could it be that God knows that if He did, you wouldn't respond to Him? Did you know that God already knows whether or not you'll obey Him? Do you know tonight God already knows as to whether or not you'll walk in faith with Him? And I have come to the conclusion that if God knows already that we will not obey and will not respond to Him, I don't believe God speaks to us. But I believe He speaks tonight to those that are available and that are willing to respond according to His word. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight.